George, known as Rap Angel, all over Facebook and YouTube. I'm here to perform a song on behalf of my ancestors. They spoke to me and this song came out. It's about the pain that they've endured over the past and the history, and we're still suffering today. I happen to be in the system with my kids involved in the system, and it's all fucked. We're not good enough for anybody, but we're here today to show support for each other and make a stand. So this song... This song's called We Die Lonely. Yeah. Everybody clap.
Do you really think you could walk a mile in my shoes? Through all the painful memories, filled with misery. Asking God for some relief, cause you would have belief from the signs you received. Now you're part of the mystery. Could you withstand the struggle, heartaches, and grief that our ancestors had to live with in history? Would you be able to forgive? Then I start to realize that I'm part of this. And this is my gift. Have you felt the shift? Do you get my gist? Is this on your wish list? We die lonely. We live.
We die. And we're both finding out where we go belong. Connection to this land, I'm being raised on that thing you can't think how the God really makes us sick. Our existence is on the brink, trying to get rid of our link, but they can't, not as easy as they think. So we need to educate this human race and the younger generation of today of what really happened back in the day, and the way our people survived and how they ran for their lives. These miserable memories are being revived. Our people are still alive. What you believe is what you decide. This life wasn't a free ride. They tried to take our pride and had to put their feelings aside. When our people got hurt, bodies buried deep in the dirt, that must have hurt their pride, not knowing their worth since birth.
It's just a pre-recorded. I didn't have my backing tracks on me today, but I'm also 5 months pregnant, so I'm fun and a bit hard to rap and sing. Thank you, my people.
Thank you, Rap Angel, everyone. Yeah. Too deadly. I want to call Millie Telford up to have a yarn. Millie Telford does some amazing organising around fracking in the NT, and Millie's the founder of Seed. So give her a round of applause.
Thank you so much. While my family and partner's family is coming up here, can we just have a massive round of applause for all the organisers who've pulled off this incredible march today? Now, I'm a bit short for this mic, but I'll give it my best chance. I'd like to first start by acknowledging traditional custodians of the land that we're on today, Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung people. And want to start today, before I go any further, of acknowledging all the people, communities, all around this country and around the world who are currently and have been experiencing the impacts of climate change and the ongoing impacts of colonisation. And so I want to start with a minute silence for all the mob, all the First Nations people and people around the world who have lost culture, who've lost lives, who've lost our homes, who've lost our country. A minute silence. Thank you. Thank you. I'm a proud Bundjalung and South Sea Islander woman, and as pretty much every speaker has done so today, everyone has talked about country. Country is where they come from, country that they're looking after, country that we're losing. It's because country is so important to us. It makes us who we are. And if our country is sick, then so are we. And right now, country is really, really sick. Country is calling out for us. All of the impacts that we're seeing, all of the fires, the extreme weather events, rising sea levels, drought, extreme heat, it's our way of our mother trying to send us a message, trying to call out to not just us as Blackfellas and First Nations people, but to everyone to listen, because it's Indigenous people that need to be at the forefront of this movement that we're building, right? As Uncle Rob said, our land is our law, and it's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people that have been looking after country here for thousands and thousands of years. And yet within a matter of 250 years of colonisation, look where we are right now. Our country is being dug up and destroyed. It's not fair. It's people who've done the least to cause climate change who are facing the most severe consequences here in Australia and right around the world. And we're all around the world, Indigenous people are rising up. We're rising up and we're leading the way and we're saying enough is enough, right? Yeah. At Seed Mob, we talk about climate justice because action on climate change alone is not going to be the change that we need. We can't continue business as usual. We need to look at the systems that have got us here in the first place. Colonialism, capitalism, patriarchy, white supremacy. It's the way that some people's lives are valued more than others. It's the way that our women are treated is a reflection on the way that we treat our Mother Earth. It's the way where frackers can be digging up and mining country in the Northern Territory, but that wouldn't happen in the Northern Beaches of Sydney. It's not fair. Yeah. No amount of money can buy back what we've lost. No amount of money can be compared to what our country means to us. And so I ask you, as everyone is coming together today, this fight, all of these fights that we're facing is connected, and our struggles and our movement need to be connected. And so I've got a quote. I don't know if people have heard the quote from Sitting Bull, a Lakota man from the US, where he says, and if you can put your hands up in the air, as individual fingers, we can be easily broken, but together we make a mighty fist. And that's how, and so you put your fist together, yeah? and that's how we need to confront this. We need to do this together, led by Black people, led by First Nations people. And so we have it. Right now, it's not fair, it's not okay that companies like Origin Energy are starting to frack in the Northern Territory. The companies like Adani have been given land. Land that was extinguished, native title that was extinguished from the Wangan and Jagalingu people to build a new coal mine. We cannot afford new fossil fuels. We cannot afford to continue business as usual. We need to come together. We need to build this movement, and First Nations people need to be leading it. And so we have a chant. We have a chant that we made up. Do you want to do it with me? Remember? It's inspired by this sign, the hands off our women. So it goes, hands off our women, hands off our mother, protect country. Hands off our women, hands off our mother, protect country. Hands off our women, hands off our mother, protect country. Hands off our women, hands off our mother, protect country. Thank you. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Thank you.
Climate justice, I want to invite Tony Birch, who's a campaigner for climate justice, to share a few words with us today.
All right. In the last few months, we've seen country destroyed by bushfires across Australia. Now, while the federal government denies the reality of climate justice, we have some people who have talked about these fires being caused by arsonists. And there's been a story in the press to say, no, it's not arsonists, it's climate change. Well, it's both. And we need to name those arsonists. Those arsonists are mining companies that take fossil fuel out of the ground and poison the atmosphere. As Millie just stated, those arsonists include the Queensland Labor government that extinguished native title to allow the Dani Corporation to build the world's biggest coal mine on traditional Aboriginal land. Those arsonists include the Federal Labor Party, who support coal mining, and of course those arsonists include the Australian government, led by Scott Morrison, who is not only an idiot, but he's an arsonist. We've seen a lot of maps around the world where what newspapers have done, what online media have done, is to superimpose maps of Europe, maps of the US, to highlight the extent of the bushfires in Australia. While it does do that, it's actually a terra nullius narrative, because all they needed to do was to superimpose the 300 Aboriginal nations of this land who was subject to these fire and burning. This is occurring here. This is occurring within Aboriginal nations. We don't need some graph that shows what would happen in another country. And to not recognise what this is doing to Aboriginal people is to not tell the story of what these fires really mean. I also want to mention just briefly, we know that many millions of animals have been killed because of these fires. We know that many animal species are in danger of extinction because of these fires. Now that is a tragedy. But what we also know that all of those animals, all of those species, have a totemic relationship to each Aboriginal person from each Aboriginal nation in this country. So when these animals suffer, again, as Millie said, Aboriginal people suffer greatly. This is not simply an animal welfare issue. This is an issue of Indigenous culture. And I just want to say finally, when people ask, what should we do? I just want to leave you with two ideas. One is to support SEED. They are a remarkable group of young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are fighting to save country every day of their lives. The work they do is magnificent. But they can't do that work without support. They can't do that work without people getting involved. And they can't do that work without financial support. So if you're thinking about who should we support in this struggle, please support SEED, Indigenous Climate Change Action Group. And the last thing I want to say, there are three remarkable Aboriginal women who will be speaking after me. Don't listen to me, listen to them, because what we need to do is give authority to Aboriginal women who lead struggles every day at a grassroots level, women who are ignored by institutions. Women who are sometimes faced with the actions of individual Aboriginal men who side up to governments, who side up to institutions at their expense, and we have to make sure that these women are given their rightful place at the head of our communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. We've got a few more speakers to go, so I'll keep it going. Next, I want to invite Sissy Austin up to the stage. Sissy Austin led a protest at the Ballarat Council the other day when they sang the national anthem right after they did a Welcome to Country, and she made an international embarrassment of them, and there were only a small group of them. The fearlessness of this human being right here is unmatched. She's also on the Treaty Assembly, and she's been helping organise around the Japarung Embassy in the last year. Sissy Austin.
Thank you, Mariki. Yes, my name is Sissy Austin. I acknowledge the traditional caretakers of the land that we're all on today. I'm sorry, I'm really nervous. I'm a grassroots woman. I am a very proud and very strong Gunditjmara Kirai Warong Djaparung woman. And I was thinking as we were marching just today how strong, and I think about it every day, how strong and how resilient Aboriginal women are. If you look at most of the fights in this state, they're being led by our women, both young and old. And so many of our young mob here, including myself, we respect so much the staunch Koori women that have come before us. In June 2018, we heard that our country was under threat from the Victorian state government and Major Roads Projects Victoria. And I told the story at the Djaparung rally of the day that myself and a couple of others, Aunty Tracy Onus in particular, she had a suitcase and a tent, and we arrived at this amazing country that has fueled us for nearly two years now, to protect and fight for Djaparung country. And on that day, Aunty Tracy had a tent in June 2018, and she set it up, and she had a piece of cardboard and wrote on the piece of cardboard, "Djaparung Heritage Protection Embassy." And from that, I don't know if everyone has seen, but from that, it's grown like never before, and that started with a proud and a strong Aboriginal woman. And so we've led that fight for nearly 2 years now, and that is reflective of the strength of us as Djaparung women. I'm comfortable in staying, and I will always be a grassroots community member, and I'm comfortable in calling out conflicting agendas of the Victorian state government. As Mariki said, I was elected onto the First People's Assembly of Victoria, which I'm very grateful for the Southwest region. But I'm also I also won't be silenced by the agenda that's being imposed on the elected treaty members. I will stay strong in who I am, and I'll continually call out what I am not comfortable with and what I don't feel like reflects our community. I'm confused as a Djaparung woman that the Victorian state government has a self-determination and treaty agenda, and at the same time they're comfortable with destroying Djaparung country. My advice to mob and all of our supporters is to keep an eye on the grassroots mob within these, within things like the Treaty Assembly. There are some of us in there, which is deadly. Aunty Donna is one of them. And, you know, the moment I feel like something such as the Victorian state government's treaty agenda isn't something that I'll feel comfortable handing down to the younger generation, you'll see me step off that treaty assembly. For now, I'm comfortable in being in there, and I'll always stay true to who I am, and I'll always stay strong. I am strong, and I'm proud, and yeah. So to the Victorian state government, I just want everyone to chant with me, no trees, no treaty, no trees, no treaty, no trees, no treaty, no trees, no treaty. Thank you.
sadly. All right, I want to introduce Aunty Donna right to the stage. Aunty Donna is a proud Gunditj Mara woman. She's an advocate for the experience of the stolen generations, and she's also on the Treaty Assembly. Aunty Donna.
Thank you. I am a proud Gunditj Mara woman from the Western Districts of Victoria. I belong to the Kerep Mara clan, my mother's country. I want to pay my respects to the traditional owners of the land that we stand on today, the Wurundjeri and the Boonwurrung people. I want to acknowledge the organisers of today's march, the Warriors Against Resistance Walk, and we please, please thank them and show them. Yeah. 82 years since today was declared a day of mourning. But today we honour our ancestors, our elders, who fought so bravely during the occupation over the last 200 plus years, protecting our homes, protecting our land, protecting their families and their children and our sovereignty. Generations of our people, our mothers, our fathers, the children, grandparents' lives lost at the front lines, the killings and massacres, the near annihilation of our people will never be forgotten. Today is Invasion Day. I am so inspired by our young people who now lead this fight into the future, who are so proud, so strong, and work so hard to raise awareness of the injustices that can continue against our people. So today we call out the continuing injustice against our people and rise above the extreme racism that is part of our everyday lives. We are resilient. Our sisters, brothers, families continue to die to unprecedented race across the country whilst incarcerated. We must stop black deaths in custody.
That's right. You must stop.
Being Aboriginal is not a crime. We call out the extreme racism we live with today and every other day. We honour our elders of the stolen generations, their fight for justice and for reparations. Thousands of Aboriginal children torn from their families, their homes and their country. We ask you to show your support for them and honour their fight. Will you chant with me when I say, what do we want? Please say reparations. What do we want?
Reparations!
When do we want them?
Yeah.
What do we want?
Reparations.
When do we want them?
Now.
What do we want?
Reparations.
When do we want it?
Now.
So we stand here today, resilient, strong, and there is unfinished business. Reparations for the stolen generation support and the support the work of GMA, Grandmothers Against Removal, who are at a moment's notice rushing to the aid of children the child protection system wants to steal off their families. Please. So today you would see people with asking you to pay the rent. Please donate. Please reach into your pockets and put some money in there. It will go towards projects and initiatives such as GMA. Our children still need protection. My mother was 9 years old when she was incarcerated for being an Aboriginal child. She lost all of her family, her parents, her mother, father. She was taken from her land, stolen. But still we stand strong and we were connected to that land, and we will fight every last breath to bring attention to the plight of those elders who have not seen their justice but who have passed away, who are still fighting the good fight and standing on the steps of Parliament and asking Dan Andrews to come out. The state government of Victoria is the only government not to provide reparations for the stolen generations in Australia. And although today we stand resilient, today will always be about thinking about down home our country, the killings, the massacres, the stolen land. So please join me. Always was, always will be. 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 No pride in genocide. No pride in genocide. No pride in genocide. Thank you.
I just want to invite Alison Pepper up to the stage. Alison lives down in Gippsland, and she did amazing work in organising community to help evacuate from the recent bushfires. And she's also on the Treaty Assembly.
Very good, very good.
Thank you, thank you. Just want to say in my language, Nektil Makta Yakin, Yori Yoda Bada, Mani Mari Barunda, Wantana Mungan Gana Gundijma Jeprong, Naju Gumbun Jechen Warandri Woirung Bunarong, Gweldon Bundain. And pay my respects to the traditional custodians of the land that we are on right now and their elders past and present. Yes, sovereignty never ceded. And yes, pay the rent. We were down in Gippsland. I want to acknowledge all the land and that we've lost on our Gunai Kurnai country all the way up in Gippsland, all the way up to the south coast. So Gunai Kurnai, the many nations that we have in Gunai Kurnai of the Kroll Tungalung, the Tatungalung, the Brabirulung, the Brutarulung, and Tatungalung. And then also our neighbouring clans of the Bidawal, the Ngerio Monero, and the Yuin nations. We've lost lots up there. There's been plenty of people that have lost houses, their homes, and some people have lost lives. So I acknowledge all those people and all their sorrow and all their loss. And I also acknowledge all the animals, our totem animals, that we have lost in these, you know, massive bushfires. And I hear lately that, you know, we should listen to the Aboriginal people. We should listen to their you know, ways of looking after country. Well, yes, we should. You know, talk with the custodians of the land that you're on, you know. Our practices are ancient. You know, there's many layers to our land. So one thing that I would hate to see from this is the government put out a blanket approach of burning country. Go and talk to the custodians of the lands that we're on. They know their country. They know their country. We know it. We've known it for 60,000 plus years. There's many layers, and a lot of our animals and our totem animals that play a big part in the ecosystem, you know, you've got to look out for them as well, like before you go and burn the land, okay? And the other thing is, you know, talking about my people that have suffered because of the fires, I feel that it's already a top-down approach in terms of not consulting and leaving the community voices behind. All the decisions are being made up here and they're not knowing what's needed on the ground. So again, our people are being left out of decision making. And you know, we're talking about land. There's water rights. You know, water rights, people selling our water, and more of our totem animals are dying. You know, people burning, what else is there? Mining. In our country, the sharks are already there. They're already going to take advantage of the burnt country. There's already forests putting out maps to say that they're going to fell trees, that it's illegal. They're looking at felling, they're looking at pulling down trees and it's illegal. And they know it's illegal and the government needs to look at that, because they're going to take advantage of it and develop on it. And also Kalbar is another one that wants to mine our country, in Gunai Kurnai country. So, you know, pay the rent. During all these fires, we had like 7 or 8 deaths in our community. One death in custody, a couple of suicides. People that are dying underneath the under 50. And you put the call out in between all of this for help to bury our people. Nobody got back to us. So that thing that's going around, that Mariki, our great-grandmother, you know, she started that way back to help bury our people with dignity. And it still is happening today, you know, which is terrible. Shame. So please give, pay the rent, and, you know, I don't know what else to say. No pride in genocide! No pride in genocide! Thank you.
Oppression doesn't stop just because the fires come through and you have to evacuate. We were trying to pull together money for those funerals while people were evacuating their homes. This is why people in the organising committee made a commitment to donate all the funds raised today to a funeral fund. I'm sick of seeing my people beg for money for a basic right of being buried with dignity. We've got absolutely nothing in this society. At least let us be buried with dignity. So please support the Aboriginal Funeral Fund. I lost my piece of paper, but I just want to invite Bill Nicholson up to say a few words. Bill's a Wurundjeri man.
Yes, thank you. Look, first of all, I'd just like to thank every single man and woman, young person, old person, that got today's march organised. It is great to see that these marches are held every year to commemorate the Aboriginal perspective of this land, which is ours, which we never sold to anybody. Gamala Mungil, Madambik, Bill Nicholson. Greetings, my name is Bill Nicholson. That's the language of this land. That language is Woiwurrung. Woiwurrung spoken all over what they now call Melbourne. This place here, traditionally called Nuttum Nuttum. What I'm saying about language, let's decolonise ourselves. Let's stop using the words Australia. It's not in our language. Victoria, some queen from a generation ago, Queensland, New South Wales, every single state name that the British imposed on this land, it was an attempt to decolonise us. Bring our language back. Bring our country back. Bring our land back. It is no coincidence that when the people of the land are suffering, so does the land. It just takes a numaji. Here's a word for you. Numaji is the word for white man on this land. It just takes them a long time to get it. They got to burn. They got to suffer before they make an action. We know better. We know how to prepare. We know how to lessen these natural, horrible effects that happen to our land. But it is a symbol. Land is burning. Land is suffering. Our people are suffering. That has to change. I really think once our mob... Here's another one for you. Jindy Warrabak. Join and unite. Come together. That is a big weakness in the Aboriginal community. We're too divided. So I'd like to say to all the cultural mob out there, I know you fellas get it. It's our political mob. Start getting it. Start bringing our mobs together as one strong mob. They are using you to divide us and weaken us. If we're going to go forward and heal this land and heal our people, we have to be Jindy Warrabak. We have to be united. We have to be strong, whatever mob we're from. You reckon? So I'll send it on a good note. I just want to tell you something. Just over there, right, there used to be a big ceremony ground that gave you access to this land. That's what sovereignty is on a cultural perspective. The rights to country, the rights to how you treat country, and the rights to allowing who you want in a country and who you don't want. We never ceded that sovereignty. But I've never seen it in action in 2019 and 2020. To me, it's just a word. Let's start fighting for our sovereignty because our ancestors never gave it to anyone. All right. My ancestors walked up that street a generation or two ago to plead to those white fellas for basic rights. We're still doing it. So all you fellas, let's get strong. Let's join together. You know, we are a powerful mob. We are the mob of this land. We have both indigenous communities, both in this country, from all over the world, and the worldwide community supporting us. So think of that. We've got the world behind us. So thank you. Yeah.
How can you be positive in the face of colonialism? You know, people want us to change a date and find a different date so they can celebrate. But what about all the genocide and dispossession in between? I don't care what date they celebrate themselves on. Actually, that to ask an Aboriginal person when a day is to what day is to, what would be an appropriate day to celebrate is offensive. What about the genocide and dispossession? Why don't we talk about that bit? No one wants to talk about that bit. All right. I just want to invite our last speaker, last but not least. He's one of my favourite thinkers and activists of the day, and it's a real honour that he could come and speak at our rally. I just want to invite Gary Foley to come and say a few words at the stage.
I'm getting a little bit old. I'm 70 this year, so I had to write something I couldn't remember. Thank you, God. I'd like to say Ginagai from the Goombangia people in the north coast of New South Wales. I pay my respects to the traditional owners of the land here who have tolerated me making trouble in their land for the last 40 years. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Every year I get up here and give you a history lesson, folks. Well, here's this year's history lesson. As was said earlier on, it's 82 years since the first expression of Invasion Day in 1938. In a rally held in Sydney, during which William Cooper declared this day to be a day of mourning for all Aboriginal people. Ever since, this day has been known to all as Invasion Day, to counter the celebrations of the supposed founding by the rest of Australia. It was on this day, 50 years ago, in 1972, that the famous Aboriginal Embassy was set up in Canberra in response to the then Prime Minister Billy McMahon's denial of land rights. The embassy would go on the following 6 months and become the most effective political action by Aboriginal people in the 20th century. Yeah. It is sad to note that three of the original founders of the Aboriginal Embassy are no longer with us. And I'd like just to say their names to you today so that their names and their deeds will never be forgotten. Billy Craigie, Bertie Williams, Tony Curry, and Michael Anderson is the one who's still with us. Let us never forget those heroic guys on that day. Now, The Christians love me. It was 32 years ago today, in 1988, that the biggest gathering of Aboriginal people in the history of Australia gathered together in Sydney to stand against the bicentennial, or as we called it, the great masturbation of the nation. More than 100,000 people marched down the streets in Sydney. And I tell you what, folks, I reckon we got pretty close to that here today. And that is a great tribute to War, Seed, and all of the people who were involved in organising this. Again, this year, I say congratulations, and next year we'll get even more. The rally in 1988 was held amidst fears, fed by tabloid newspapers, fears of violence in the streets of Sydney. Well, folks, the white fellas in Sydney have always been a bit sensitive about big gatherings of black fellas. That goes all the way back to the day that Captain Cook landed in Botany Bay, and he had to fire a musket into a shield to ward off the blackfellas. So it's understandable probably that Sydney people are a bit sensitive. Speaking of Captain Crook, this year also marks two significant 50th anniversaries. The first is that in April 1970, and in April again this year, we should commemorate this. In 1970, a large number of Aboriginal people gathered on the shores of Botany Bay to protest against the arrival of Captain Cook in Botany Bay. I was there, folks. The other anniversary is that 50 years ago today, in Redfern, a small group of Aboriginal people, myself, Billy Craigie, Paul Coe, Gary Williams, and what was known as the Black Power Collective of Redfern, set up the first free shopfront legal aid centre for anyone in Australia. Today, that legal service is a multi-million dollar operation. Today, there are hundreds of lawyers all over Australia supposedly working for the benefit of Aboriginal people. But, as we know, there are more Aboriginal people in jail today than what there were when we set up the legal service. Black deaths in custody continue unabated, despite the Royal Commission, despite all of the years of protest. We still keep dying in jail. So how can any government purport to do a treaty negotiation with people while there are so many blackfellas in the jails in this state? How can any government in good conscience talk about any sort of treaty whilst people are still dying in the jails in Victoria? The clear lesson of that for everyone here today is that we have a long way to go before we achieve justice. And so, I say to you young people, it is upon you to take the struggle forward. And listen carefully to this, folks. I do not claim eldership. I do not believe in my 70 years on this earth yet I have achieved the level of wisdom and knowledge that may entitle me to call myself an elder. But nevertheless, as an old bloke who's standing up here in front of you today, I say this to you. a bit of gratuitous advice in the path forward. I can make a couple of suggestions. Three. One, don't believe the hype. Two, beware of politicians bearing false promises. And number three, if I can turn the page. That's my memory, see? That's the Alzheimer's kicking in. Number three, I'd like to quote a quote that I read this morning on somewhere on Facebook by a very eminent Aboriginal historian, namely myself. I read this in an interview apparently that was done some time ago by a friend of mine in the newspaper Red Flag. There you are, I've given you your plug. But here's the quote. If you want to change the world, it's important to get together with others and be organised, because you can't do it by yourself. And that's all the word I can tell you. Thank you, folks.
Another round of applause. Thank you very much, Gary Foley. Okay, well, that really concludes our rally today. I just wanted to shout out to Workers Solidarity for helping us be organised. I don't know how many of you know this, but there were a few threats from white supremacists. So be careful walking home alone.
Fuck
'em. Don't walk home alone. Stick together, even when you're leaving here. If you've got Aboriginal flags on, we are the majority here, but out there it's still Australia. This is still a dangerous country, so buddy up. Thank you for our marshals for helping us make it through safely. Thank you to everyone that volunteered their time to be a part of today and to make today work. Trades Hall for the truck, our police liaison officers, and the many different blackfellas that came out and supported, and our sound crew, our security, people that kept us safe, and you for coming out. Thank you very much.